We haven't been in Acts for a few weeks, but we're going to be back here and in chapter number 20 this evening, and we're going to see what the Bible has to teach us tonight about this third missionary journey that Paul is on, and I'm trusting some encouragement for you tonight. The encouragement tonight is this: the importance of being faithful. The importance of being faithful. All that we would be faithful to the Lord. And we're going to notice that here in Acts chapter 20, and I hope it'll be an encouragement, a blessing to you. You'll make decisions for Christ tonight as we hear His word in Acts chapter number 20. Now, just to remind us of what happened in Acts chapter 19, or at least the second half of Acts chapter 19, Paul is on his third missionary journey, and he had been in the city of Ephesus. And you may remember at the end of chapter number 20, there was a man named Demetrius who caused an uproar. Remember, there was great salvation. There was salvation decisions being made. The word of God was being preached. People were being evangelized. And as a result of that, the silversmiths were having trouble with their business. Business was being taken away because of salvation decisions that were being made. And as his trade, Demetrius, with his trade of being a silversmith, and then also those that had the same trade or had the same job, an uproar was caused by Demetrius because of that. We talked about at the end of the chapter, a man in the city there begins to speak up, and the uproar kind of ceases, kind of brings it to an end. But the Bible in chapter 20 tells us that after that time of uproar comes to an end, Paul decides to continue on his missionary journey, leave the city of Ephesus, and travel to Macedonia. And so that's where we're going to pick up tonight as he leaves Ephesus after this uproar that's caused by Demetrius, and he continues on his third missionary journey. Now, you probably have recognized a statement that I've been saying several Sundays now, it seems, in a row, that we've been making this statement, how that God is using the messages really to go hand in hand with one another just absolutely perfectly. I know not everybody that's sitting in here is in our adult Sunday school class, but it seems as if the messages that we've been, or the lessons that we've been giving in adult Sunday school, have just gone so well with the Sunday morning messages that have been preached that God has laid upon my heart, the challenges that He has given me. And along that line, we're going to get to notice this tonight. The message that we heard this morning from Brother Hummel goes so well with what we're going to see tonight in Acts chapter 20. It's amazing how God does that. He works out the preaching of God's word as He lays messages on the hearts of preachers to work it out in such a great way. And that's exactly what we're going to notice tonight when we get to Acts chapter number 20. Here's the thought. Brother Hummel shared with us this thought this morning. He talked to us about being a Timex Christian. And Brother Rob did good this morning, didn't he? To get the slogan for Timex. He did that great, didn't he? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And he encouraged us to be a Christian that can take a licking and just keep on ticking. And the example that he used for us was Paul, didn't he? He used the example of Paul and how Paul did not let things hinder him or stop him in the work of the ministry. As a matter of fact, the verse that Brother Hummel had us go to this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 is so fitting with our message tonight. And so I'm going to take the time real quickly to read that, what he read in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, because it applies to what we're going to learn tonight about Paul. Paul, he did not stop. He did not become discouraged. He did not become depressed or have ideas of giving up. No matter what Paul went through, he just kept on going for the Lord. And what an example he leaves us in the fact that he was faithful to the Lord no matter what came about. And we think about it, by the way, that's why I tried to review. We think about what happened there at the end of Acts chapter 19. How there was this uproar that was stirred with Demetrius as well as the other silversmiths there. And remember, the Bible talks about how they had to stop Paul from trying to intervene in stopping this uproar because they thought it was dangerous for him. He could hurt himself. And so they kind of pulled him back. And the principle that I tried to give you as we were studying through Acts chapter 19 is that God doesn't always need our human help. Instead, he's got everything under control, doesn't he? And so Paul was pulled back. They didn't need Paul's help. Instead, God intervened. And he caused that uproar to cease. But it didn't stop Paul. He moved on. And we're going to get to see that tonight. But he read to us this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, where it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And by the way, this is Paul writing this as well in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we were reminded of that this morning, that Paul was able to take a licking and he was able to keep on ticking. And the idea tonight is that there was nothing that would stop Paul. Discouragement didn't stop him. He didn't get to places of depression where he said, I'm just going to give in or throw in the towel. And Brother Hummel, of course, encouraged us with that this morning. And so I want us to look in the first part of Acts chapter 20 of the faithfulness of this man named Paul and how he just kept at it and stayed faithful to the Lord. And the encouragement tonight is that we would stay faithful to the Lord. As not only individuals, we're going to look at the faithfulness that God desires of us as individuals, but then we're going to look at the faithfulness that God desires for us as a church as well. And then we're going to look at the faithfulness of our God. Our God sets the perfect example because he is so faithful to us, even in times when we are not so faithful to him. So the first thing I want us to notice tonight is I want us to see the description of Paul's faithfulness. I want us to see Paul's faithfulness to the Lord described. Would you look at verse number 1, and we're going to go through the first 6 verses of Acts chapter number 20. We'll look at each of these verses and we'll try to describe the faithfulness of Paul. And along the lines of the message, of course, we'll have some applications, and I hope you can glean some thoughts from those tonight as well. Look at verse number 1. It says this, and after the uproar was ceased. Now those first few words of verse number 1 of Acts chapter 20 spoke to my heart when I was preparing this message for this evening. Here's the thought God gives to us at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 1. And after the uproar was ceased. The idea tonight is this. In your life, yes, you may face hardships. In your life, you may go through times of valleys in your life. But isn't it encouraging and comforting to know that as we go through the hardships of life and we go through the valleys of life and the difficult days of life, they do have times where they pass, don't they? And what a comfort to think about the uproar that was taking place, but the Bible tells us it did cease. It did have a time in which it passed away. And so, yes, you may have times of hardship in your life, times of valleys in your life, times of difficult days, but they will come to pass. I was encouraged this morning, and I don't think she would mind me sharing this. I didn't ask her for permission necessarily to share this, but I was just encouraged by something that was said to me this morning on the bus by Mary Gustafson. She told me this morning, she said, you know, that scripture assembly was an absolute godsend in my life. She said, I needed that so desperately. We know that Miss Mary's gone through a valley. She's just recently lost her husband. She's gone through the discouragement of that. She's gone through a time where she needs comfort from the Lord. And she said, that is exactly what I needed. She said, I just needed to feel like I could be used. And I said, oh, Miss Mary, I said, you were used. I said, but it wasn't just the fact that you were used. I said, you were used by the Lord. I said, the Lord had an opportunity to use you the last few days. And what a comfort and encouragement it was to her just to be a part of the Bible assembly. The idea here today is this, that yes, we'll face hardships. We'll face difficult times, but they will come to pass. And that's what we always have to remember. That valley may be followed up by that mountain that God has prepared for you. Yes, there will be challenges, but they'll come to seize. And I was encouraged by that as I read through that. Notice this at the end of verse number one. Paul called unto him the disciples. And these are ones that are following the Lord. Think about the work that Paul is doing on these missionary journeys. He's able to establish churches. He's able to see many souls that have been saved, many souls that have followed the Lord in the decision of believers' baptism, many that are joining churches, and getting to see these churches growing in the Lord. And so Paul calls all of these followers of the Lord together to him, and the Bible says he embraced them. Now that reminds me of a principle that we shared several weeks back now as we've been studying through the book of Acts. We talked about the love that you can notice and recognize when you study through the book of Acts, the love that you see in Paul's heart for souls, the love that he has for souls, the love that he has for souls while they're lost so that they can come to Christ, and then the love that he has for souls once they trust Christ as their Savior. The Bible says he calls all of these disciples to him and he embraces them. He knows he's about to leave. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at another passage of Scripture. If you would hold your place there in Acts chapter 20, and if you would turn with me quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible identifies for us in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 who one of these disciples are that Paul leaves there in Ephesus. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 3. So again, Paul calls these disciples. He embraces them. One of those disciples that he calls to his side before he leaves Ephesus to head towards Macedonia is Timothy. He was in that group. Timothy was going to stay so that he could help there in the city of Ephesus. Now, how do we know that's true? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says this. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. Now we know that Paul is writing this book to Timothy. So Paul authors the book, but he's writing it to Timothy. And so he's talking to Timothy here. He says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went in to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. So what is the purpose in all of this? Well, the purpose in this is so that Timothy can stay so that he can instruct these believers so that they can make sure that if there's errors that begin to creep in, that they can recognize those. And so Timothy's going to stay there for the purpose of instructing these believers so that they can grow in the Lord. So we know that in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 1, when Paul calls these disciples to him and he embraces them, that one of the disciples that he chooses to leave there and to help instruct the believers that are there in Ephesus is Timothy. We read it there in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Now would you go to the end of the verse? So the end of verse number 1, the Bible says this, and departed for to go into Macedonia. Now you may remember that in Paul's second missionary journey, we're on his third now in Acts chapter 20, Paul's second missionary journey included a visit to Macedonia, didn't it? Now here's probably the thing that we remember more than anything when Paul went to Macedonia. The first place that he went when he went to Macedonia was, it happened to be the city of Philippi, didn't it? Remember, he received the Macedonian call. We want you to come over here to Macedonia, the region of Macedonia. And the Bible tells he comes to that chief city there in the region of Macedonia. He comes to Philippi. And we know that he meets that lady Lydia. And she trusts the Lord as her Savior. And then as a result of preaching, he's put in jail. And they're singing praises to the Lord. And the chains come off of them and they're free to go. But gloriously that a Philippian jailer is saved, isn't he? And so we know that's what happens during his second missionary journey. Well, the Bible tells he's going to go back to Macedonia. The Bible tells us why he does that. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 2 tonight here in Acts chapter number 20. It says, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation. So now he goes back to the region of Macedonia, these churches that had been established during his second missionary journey, And the Bible tells he goes back for the purpose of encouraging the believers in those cities that he had visited during his second missionary journey, and churches, by the way, that were established during his second missionary journey as well. He goes back for the purpose of encouraging them. Now, if you would consider with me tonight what steps Paul would have probably taken when he came back to some of these cities to encourage them. Well, number one, certainly the purpose of just encouragement, that would be something that Paul would do. But then he would try to see these Christians growing in the Lord. That would be one of the steps that he would take. I want to come back and see you growing in the Lord. He probably would have to deal, as he would come back to these churches, he probably would have had to deal with errors that maybe had creeped into the churches and try to help them, to give them instructions of errors that had come into the church. And we read that many times with these letters that he wrote to these churches, problem areas that they were having, and Paul's trying to correct them. So when he goes back to these churches, he's trying to help them. He's trying to see them growing in the Lord. He's trying to see them making steps in their life of growth. So he goes back to these churches for the purpose of encouraging. And then notice with me, if you would, at the end of verse number 2, the Bible tells the location that he chooses to go next. So he comes from Ephesus to the region of Macedonia, and then the Bible tells us he goes to Greece. Would you look at the end of verse number 2? He came into Greece. So this was after he had visited the churches in Macedonia. The Bible tells us he makes his way to Greece. Now, he stays there for 3 months. Would you look at the first part of verse number 3? And there abode 3 months. Look at the second part of verse number 3. The Bible says, and when the Jews laid wait for him. Now, the Jews were some of Paul's biggest enemies, or his greatest problems, or his enemies that he faced were the Jewish people. And the Bible tells us that they are laying wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria. Now, some of this picturing what we suppose is going on here. The Bible doesn't tell us every single detail, but the thought is, as they understand Paul is going to get on a boat, they're going to try to use the fact that he's on a boat against him for the purpose of hurting him, causing him trouble while he is on that boat sailing to, the Bible says, Syria. And so these Jewish people are plotting, against Paul so that they can hurt him, do him harm, perhaps even kill him. So there's an application here. And by the way, it reminds us again, back to what we heard this morning as Brother Hummel was preaching, the fact that anything that we do where we are going forward for the Lord, there is going to be adversity. Matter of fact, he addressed it this morning, didn't he, in the message, the fact that we've got a real enemy, don't we? And the enemy wants to defeat us. And he's not going to let us go on forward for the Lord without causing as much trouble as he can possibly cause. The Bible identifies him as a roaring lion. And he's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. So anything and anyone that is trying to go forward for the Lord, there are going to be times where we may face adversity. And that's what the Bible tells us is happening here in the middle of verse number 3. Paul's anticipating getting on a boat. He's anticipating sailing to Syria, the Bible says there in verse number 3. And these Jews are lying in wait. They're plotting. They're making a plot to attack Paul, perhaps even to kill him. So the idea tonight is that Satan is going to attempt to resist any work that is being done for the Lord. He's trying to resist the work of the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to resist him. So he wants to resist the work of the Lord. We're to resist him. As a matter of fact, Paul described this. Would you keep your place there in Acts chapter 20? And would you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 for a moment? Because Paul describes this adversity that he has to go through. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and look down with me, if you would, at verse number 9. And by the way, this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is going to come to play in just a moment. Well, I say in just a moment, in in sermons to come when we continue studying through Acts chapter number 20. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9. It says this, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." So Paul says, God has opened to me a great door. I want this to be an effectual door so that many people can come to know Christ as their Savior because of this great door or this great opportunity that God has given to me. But did you notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 9, though? At the end of verse number 9, it says this, "And there are many adversaries." There are many adversaries. When we're trying to accomplish something great for God, yes, the devil is at work, isn't he? And he is our adversary. And as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. So a plot is being made against Paul by the Jewish people. But God intervenes. And isn't it great how God does that? How he protects those who are his children. And that's exactly what's going to happen because God is going to guide him now. Do not get on that boat. Do not set sail towards Syria, but instead return to Macedonia. Now remember, he had come from Ephesus to Macedonia, then had gone to visit Greece, and God encourages him. The decision is made. God directs him, "I need to go back to Macedonia." Look with me, if you would, at the end of verse number 3. He purposed to return through Macedonia. Now, something we have to remember about this passage of Scripture, and we're going to get to see it again as we keep studying through Acts chapter number 20, and we keep studying through this third missionary journey. The goal of Paul's trip here is to end up in the city of Jerusalem. So that's where he wants to ultimately end up. He wants to get to the city of Jerusalem. So the Bible tells us, here's the journey he's taking, Ephesus to Macedonia. He goes to Greece, and then to try to continue his journey to get to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us God leads him. He purposes in his heart that now he's going to go back to Macedonia. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, "And there accompanied him into Asia." Now we got a list of names here of men from Paul's missionary work that accompany him in the direction that he's heading towards Macedonia. The Bible gives us a list of these names, and it even tells us the cities that some of these men are from. Matter of fact, again, it gives us a reminder of all of these missionary works that Paul has done, and souls that have been saved, lives that have been changed because of his work, and the Bible tells they now want to accompany him as he is making his journey towards Jerusalem. So look at this list of names here. We got Sopater of Berea. Now, of course, we recognize the city of Berea because that was one of the cities that Paul had visited on his missionary journeys. And of the Thessalonians are Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe. So we recognize these cities again. We got Berea, we got Thessalonica, we've got Derbe and Timothy. And of Asia, he says Tychicus and Trophimus. So here's this list of these men that had been a part of Paul's missionary work. Souls that have been saved. Lives that have been changed because of Paul's missionary work. And they decide to accompany him. The Bible tells us in verse number 5 that they go to Troas. When they go to Troas, they are waiting for Paul to get there. So as Paul is journeying, Paul stops. We'll get to the city that he stops at in just a minute. And as he stops his journey, these men continue on and they go to Troas and they're going to wait for Paul to get there. So look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. "These going before tarried for us at Ephesus." Now we got to emphasize something that we notice in verse number 5. The Bible uses the word us. Now you may remember, this would have been several weeks, if not months back, that we've been studying the book of Acts, that we told you we come to places in the book of Acts where we see the word us and we see the word we. When we see the word us and we see the word we, it identifies the fact that Luke has now joined Paul on this particular part of his missionary journey. Because remember, Luke is the one who writes the book. So Luke is identifying himself as now being part of this particular location where Paul finds himself. So the Bible tells us that these men that have moved forward to Troas are going to be waiting for us. All right, so what does that tell us? That tells us that Paul and Luke together are going to eventually end up in Troas to be reunited with these men that have already gone before. So where does Paul meet up with Luke then? Well, look at the next verse. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says this. And we, there's the word we now. So we have the word us in verse number 5 that reminds us that Luke is now part of this portion of Scripture with Paul. And then we have the word we in verse number 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. Now, so Paul has met up with Luke at the city of Philippi. Now, remember the direction that God is leading him now. He leaves Ephesus. He goes to Macedonia. He goes to Greece for 3 months. Then God, he purposes in his heart, God's leading and God's direction, that I'm going to go back to Macedonia. When he goes back to Macedonia, we know that one of the cities in Macedonia is Philippi. So the Bible tells he meets up with Luke in Philippi, and then they're going to continue their journey to Troas. Remember, that's the place where those men who had accompanied Paul had gone ahead and were waiting for Paul and Luke to meet them. So read the end of verse number 6 with me. It says this, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So Paul and Luke sail from Philippi to Troas, and the Bible tells us that's where they're reunited with these men. Now I'm going to go on to thought number 2. But right before we go on to thought number 2, let me make an application here from thought number 1. Remember what thought number 1 was? The description of Paul's faithfulness. Now I know that as I was reading through those verses tonight, I was just giving you a lot of locations, wasn't I? We had Macedonia, and then we had Greece, and then back to Macedonia. Then we're talking about the city of Philippi, and then eventually landing in the city of Troas. You say, what does that have to do with Paul's faithfulness? He kept at it, didn't he? He kept faithful in the work of the Lord, didn't he? He was faithful. Moving from one location to the other, just for the purpose of traveling? No. Was it a vacation for Paul? No. He was faithfully trying to encourage believers, wasn't he? And God was directing him every step of the way. We see a wonderful picture of Paul's faithfulness. The idea for us tonight is just keep at it, right? Oh, how it goes hand in hand with what we heard this morning. Just keep at it. Just stay faithful in the work of the Lord. Let's be the encouragement to one another that God needs us to be. I've tried to talk to you, I've tried to say to our church several times now about just the need of praying for people that need encouragement. Let's be praying specifically that God would encourage people that are going through struggles with their health. Again, we got a lot of sickness in our church. A lot of folks that are just struggling with health right now. Some that have recently faced losses in their life. Just to say, I'm going to be a child of God that just stays at it. I'm trying to encourage people. I'm trying to see people growing in the Lord. And I want to have a part in that. I want to be faithful to let God use me to do that in the work of the Lord. That's what Paul encourages us here with. He didn't get down just because there was an uproar in the city of Ephesus. Now, I do believe he might have left a little bit earlier than what he wanted to leave. He left the disciples behind to encourage the believers. So yes, he may have left a little bit earlier than what he wanted to leave, but it sure didn't stop him, did it? And it sure didn't cause him to get discouraged or depressed. He just kept on going, didn't he? And so we see a description of the faithfulness of Paul. But number 2, I want you to notice tonight, starting in verse number 7, actually just verse number 7 we'll look at, I want us to notice the description of the church, or excuse me, the faithfulness of the church. So number 1, we've got the description of the faithfulness of Paul. Individually, would we learn to be faithful? I'm saying to you individually tonight, to myself tonight, the encouragement individually to be faithful to the Lord. But then we need to be faithful to the Lord as a church as well. As a church as a whole, to be faithful to the Lord. And we see a wonderful picture of this in verse number 7, a description of the faithfulness of the church. And we're going to get to see three different areas of faithfulness in the early church here in this verse that we're going to look at tonight, verse number 7. Look at it with me, if you would. Number 1 in verse number 7, as we go along, it says this, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together," faithfulness number 1, or faithful identifier number 1 here in verse number 7, the Bible says that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together. Number 1, they faithfully assembled. They faithfully assembled. This became a pattern of faithfulness in their life. They faithfully assembled in the house of the Lord on the first day of the week. The Bible identifies this as being true of those that were in the city of Troas. They were known for faithfully assembling. Now, what does the Bible say to us about that? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then he goes on to say, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has encouraged us as Christians, as children of God, as members of the local church, just like they were part of the early church, right? We're members of that local New Testament church that God has established here in the city of Boonesboro, that as His people, we are to be faithful. And can I say this? We are to be faithful in response to God's faithfulness. See, He is faithful to me. And if there's no other reason why you could say today I'd be faithful to the Lord, it's in response to His faithfulness. Because He is so faithful to us. The Bible talks in the book of Lamentations about how His mercies are new every day. Faithful is our God. And so often we are not faithful to Him. I think in my life of the faithfulness of God and how many times in my faithfulness, in my life, as far as my faithfulness is concerned, I'm not what I should be for the Lord. As in response to His faithfulness, as He has been faithful to us, we're to be faithful to Him. And one of the ways that He tells us to be faithful is in the assembling of ourselves together. The idea of on the first day of the week, they assembled, they met together as a local church, didn't they? As a body of believers. Now we think about this thought, faithful. It's brought up many times in the Bible. The Bible encourages us to be a faithful servant. What a privilege we have to serve the Lord. I said it this morning, I was thrilled to be able to serve the Lord together with you this past weekend. It was a blessing to be able to serve the Lord together with those that are in our church family. It was a blessing to be able to serve the Lord with Brother Hummel and Brother Matt Miller and his wife. It was a blessing to be able to serve the Lord together. We are to be faithful when it comes to being a servant for the Lord. The Bible says we are to be faithful as a steward. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We as a steward have been given by God things that we have been entrusted with. And we're to be responsible with what we've been given, right? And so God says to us that we are to be a faithful steward. The Bible says we're to be faithful. The Bible words it this way. We're to be faithful in few things. And then the Bible goes on to say it this way. We're to be faithful in that which is least. So faithful in few things, faithful in that which is least. The Bible encourages us to be faithful in the Lord. What a thought tonight. Just to be faithful in the Lord and the things of the Lord. We're to be a faithful minister. To be faithfully presenting the gospel to others that need to hear the word of God. Let's be faithful about that. And then the encouragement from Scripture that one day, as we've been faithful to the Lord, we'll have the opportunity to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As Brother Hummel said to us this morning, that is a statement that God will make to us that no one will ever regret. Hearing God say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He went on, by the way, this morning to say, the one regret that we will have perhaps will be that we didn't do more for the Lord. There's a hymn that the hymn writer wrote, I wish I'd have given him more. God is asking his children to be faithful. Not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. Not everybody will mow the grass. Not everybody will play the piano. Not everybody will clean the building. But the thought is everyone can be faithful. And one of the ways that God asks us to be faithful is in the assembling of ourselves together. As he says, the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll try to encourage you this evening. The thought tonight is this. It should not be that we have to try to keep people faithful in their attendance to church. It shouldn't be that we have to try to do that. It should be just simply the fact that we know we need to be faithful in our attendance to the house of God. We need to be loyal when it comes to the things that we do in the Lord's work and faithful in what he's asked us to do. We shouldn't have to reward somebody for coming to church. We shouldn't have to coax somebody into coming to church and assembling together as God has commanded us to do. And the reason why we shouldn't have to reward people is because we shouldn't have to reward somebody for doing something that they are supposed to do according to the Word of God anyway. This is something God has asked us to do. It ought to be a priority. We're seeing that in the church here in Troas. They are identified as being faithful in their assembling together. When the first day of the week came, they assembled. It was a priority, wasn't it? It wasn't an option. My mom, I know, many times tells the story about times when we were children and she struggled. My mom struggled for many years with challenges with migraine headaches. And I remember many times, and my mom will tell you the story, many times we would look at her and we would say, Mom, you're not feeling real well tonight. Does that mean you're not going to be able to go to church? And she'd say, yes, I'm not feeling real well. I got a migraine. I don't know that I'm going to be able to go to church tonight. And we would look back at her and we'd say, well, that doesn't mean we're not going, does it? And I remember my grandmother sometimes would pull up in the driveway and drive us to church. Why? Because when we were growing up, church was a priority. And church was not something that was an option. Church wasn't something you worked your schedule around. Church was already in the plan. And so you didn't have to say, well, I've already made plans and they conflict with my faithfulness to church. No, church was the plan. Church was the priority. And you assembled faithfully in the house of the Lord. And so it shouldn't be that we're rewarded or coaxing somebody to do these things, but to just say, I'm going to be faithful because these are things that God asked me to do. Things that we do without any encouragement at all because we just say we love the Lord. I don't have to be encouraged. I don't have to be rewarded. I don't have to be given something to be in the house of the Lord because I'm doing it because I love the Lord. And I want to be in his house and I want to do what he asked me to do. And so can I present this thought to you tonight? True faith will always show up in your faithfulness. Are you faithful to the Lord the way you should? I'll tell you a quick story. We were at the restaurant last night with Brother Hummel. And we started talking about sports. And I don't know how the conversation got onto sports, but it didn't take us long to realize we had a common interest when it came to the subject of sports. And so we started talking back and forth. And I asked him, were there any sports that you played while you were growing up? And he said, I played baseball. And he said, man, I loved it. And he said, I was a catcher. And I don't think he was trying to boast. I don't think he was trying to brag. But he said, I was a catcher. And he said, I was pretty good. And he said, I got to be involved pretty heavily in playing baseball. And he said, it started into my adult years. And he said, and then he said, I got saved. And he said, it didn't take me long to realize that baseball couldn't be the priority anymore. It had to be God. And so he started telling me a story. He said, I was offered positions on baseball teams. He said, I kept turning them down. And he said, then I took a pastorate. I was pastoring a church. And by the way, he talked a little bit about one of his pastorates and the questions they asked him this morning. You probably remember that. But he said, I took a pastorate. And he said, as soon as I took that pastorate, he said, I had a traveling baseball team reach out to me. And they asked me if I could join their traveling baseball team. And he said, I thought, okay, I'll be able to do that. He said, as long as it doesn't conflict with the church services, obviously as the pastor of the church. So he said, I agreed to be on the traveling team. And he said, the very first game was scheduled on a Thursday night. And he said, I thought that'd be fine. I won't miss the midweek service. I'll be able to participate in the traveling team game tonight or on that Thursday night. And he looked at me and he said, but the only conflict I had was that was the night that we had visitation. And he said, you know what I did? And he's telling me this story. He said, I justified it. He said, in my heart, I started to say, well, as the pastor of the church, I was in the office today and I went out visiting on my own this afternoon. And so he said, I don't have to go out visiting tonight. I'll just let the rest of the folks from the church do that. And I'll participate in this ball game. And he said, I started to justify it. And so he said, I was driving on the highway heading towards that game. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, the Holy Spirit let me have it. He said, to the point where I had to pull off the side of the road. And I had to tell the Lord I was sorry for the fact that I was putting baseball as a priority over going out visiting that night. He said, I turned the vehicle around. He said, I headed back towards the church. He said, I went visiting that night, and he said, I never did help in that. I never did be a part of that, he said, traveling baseball team, because I knew it would cause what should be a priority in my life to be hindered from what I really should do for the Lord. Let me ask you, would the Holy Spirit smite you that much if something would prioritize itself over what you know God wants you to do? The idea is, how desperately really do we want to be faithful to the Lord? How much of a priority will we make the things of the Lord? They prioritized assembling together. But then would you look quickly back to verse number 7? The Bible says this, they were gathered together and it says to break bread. What else did they make a priority? Not only assembling themselves together, but worshiping the Lord. You say, well, wait a minute. How are they worshiping the Lord and breaking of bread? Because it's a picture of the fact that as a local church, they assembled for the purpose of partaking of the Lord's table. This is the Lord's Supper. They're breaking bread. The Bible says on the first day of the week, they broke bread. They were partaking of the Lord's table. They were faithful in their worship of the Lord. Does not God ask us of that? That we'd be faithful in the way that we worship the Lord? Yes, in partaking of the Lord's table, but above and beyond even that, in the things that we do in the work of the Lord at the local church, just to be faithful in our worship and our service of the Lord. But then look at the last area of faithfulness in the local church. Would you look at verse number 7? Paul preached unto them. They were faithful not only in the fact that they assembled together, and it was a priority. It wasn't an option. It was a priority. Number 2, they were faithful in their worship, and it was done through the partaking of the Lord's table. But then number 3, the Bible says they were faithful in their preaching. In their preaching. In the local church, we need to be faithful in our preaching. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes it in verse number 9, as long preaching. Oh, I hope you don't get upset when the preaching gets a little long. He labels it as long preaching, right? Paul gets up and he begins to preach the Word of God. They were faithful at that, weren't they? What does the Bible say we're to do? It says we're to preach the Word of God. We're to be faithful in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. The Bible talks about how that through the foolishness of preaching, many have come to know Christ. I'm thankful for the pastor that got up the night I got saved and preached the Word of God. I'm thankful that I got to hear the message of salvation through the preaching of the Word of God. The last thought I want to give you tonight is this. We saw a description of Paul's faithfulness. I'll try to finish up quickly. We saw, number 2, a description of the church's faithfulness. But lastly, I want you to notice a description of God's faithfulness. A description of God's faithfulness. Would you look at the end of the passage of Scripture quickly? Look at this man, the Bible tells us, who dies while Paul is preaching. This man dies while he's preaching. Now, I hope that doesn't happen tonight, right? Verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, there he describes it in verse 9 as long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. You know, there are some that try to debate this passage of Scripture and they say, well, does that mean he actually died? Or does that mean he fell and it seemed as if he was dead and then he was brought back to life? I think the Bible clearly tells us what happened to this man. He died as he fell from the third loft. So Eutychus dies. But look at verse number 10. Would you notice the faithfulness of our God? Verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, would you concentrate on the words Paul says here? Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Here's what Paul is doing in verse number 10, or we'll say it this way, what he's saying. Paul is expecting a miracle. Now, why is Paul expecting a miracle? Because he knows the record of God's faithfulness. We serve a God who is faithful, don't we? And Paul is expecting God to perform a miracle. Let me ask you, in your life, in my life, do we expect God to perform miracles? Sometimes we don't have the faith we ought to have. Sometimes we need to ask God to increase our faith. Because he's a faithful God and he can do anything, can't he? And so we just need to rely upon him in faith, knowing that he can perform miracles. He can do great and mighty things for his children. Paul expects God to perform a miracle because God has been faithful in the past. What makes me think he can't be faithful now in this situation that I'm facing? And look with me, if you would, in verse number 11. I love this. The Bible says, they went about their normal business. Here's this man who died. Paul's expecting a miracle. They go about their normal business. Look at verse number 11. When he therefore was come up again, that's Paul now came up again, and had broken bread, so now they're back to what they're doing there in the church, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day. Because Paul is expecting to leave. That's why he's preaching so long that night, because there's things he needs to tell them, because he knows he's leaving. The Bible says they have conversations till the break of day, so he departed. So now Paul's going to go on his journey, and we'll continue that when we meet together the next time as we're studying through the book of Acts. But right before we close, would you look at the last verse in this passage of Scripture this evening? Look at verse number 12. What a picture of God's faithfulness. And they brought the young man alive. Now, in order for him to be alive, that means there had to be a time where he died, right? So he died, they bring him back alive, and here's the encouragement when we see God's faithfulness. Look at the end of the verse. And were not a little comforted. That's the Bible's way of saying this. They were much comforted because of what God did. So here's the thought tonight as we close. God is faithful, and he proves his faithfulness by raising, bringing back to life this man named Eutychus. And here's what God does. He removes. I want you to apply this to your life tonight right before we close. God removes the sadness that's in the heart of these people. Doesn't that describe the faithfulness of God in your life today? Oh, there may be sadness, there may be valleys, there may be discouragements and disappointments from time to time, but isn't it great to know that we can go to a God that is able to remove sadness? He's able to comfort. There was much comfort because of what God had done. God removed the sadness, and he'll remove your sadness today, won't he? He'll comfort you every step of the way as you're faithfully serving him. Provide for you exactly what you need. And you know, tonight there might be somebody that's come in here and you're a little discouraged. Maybe you just need God to show his faithfulness to you and comfort you. Would you ask him to do that tonight? You're faithful to him in response to his faithfulness to you. May we be faithful as individuals. May we be faithful as a church and in the things that we talked about in church that we need to prioritize and be faithful in. And then may we thank God for his faithfulness to us. Father, I pray that you would use this thought in Acts chapter 20 to encourage our hearts tonight.